What's going on, guys? It is week 8 here on the Fantasy Process Report podcast, episode number 12. And once again, Matt and Nick up in Philadelphia with Jason down in Miami. Is it still warm down there?
It is, yes. By the way, I just wanted to mention that this is the Aaron Rodgers podcast. I know you guys are fans of that.
No.
But yeah, the weather is starting to get into that like really good zone where you wake up in the morning and it's not super humid. And I really noticed it when I was watching the Eagles game and I saw people all bundled up in like sweatshirts and gloves and hats and stuff. And I was like, it's 85 degrees here. And I was at the beach yesterday.
It was a high of 49 on Sunday, so yeah, yeah. Bundled up a little bit.
Yeah, and then I just like it didn't even like cross my mind until I saw that on TV. And I was like, I was at the beach yesterday. This is different.
Yeah, screw off.
How was your Thursday? Almost a week ago, but how was your Thursday?
What happened?
Last Thursday.
What happened on Thursday?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. Started about 8:30 p.m., ended between 11:30 and midnight.
Are you talking about the Giants-Eagles game?
No, I'm talking about the Giants-Thursday night game.
Giants played on Monday.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
I was like, are you still trying
to
fucking gloat about
the Giants? No, it was Monday night. It was Monday night. Sorry.
Screw off. God.
It was Monday night. Sorry. I'm mixing up my primetime games at this point.
I don't know, man. Fucking Giants suck. That's what happened.
Oh, my God. It's gotten to the point where I'm so distressed about the season at this point that I'm mixing up the primetime games.
I mean, our defense is like kind of the only redeeming quality about the team, and we're just like getting rid of all of our defensive players.
Yeah, I was just about to say it was the redeeming quality, and now you're trading away all the players.
Snacks Harrison traded today to Detroit for a fifth round pick. That's all you could get for Damon Harrison.
I don't think that's all we could get. I think that's just all we did get.
I think you probably could have gotten at least a third.
He's
a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I
never understood trading for late round picks like that. Like, guys get traded all the time for like 5th, 6th, 7th round picks or whatever, and I just don't understand it, because the amount of times that a team will draft a guy in the 5th round and not even keep him, like 5th round picks, as soon as you get past the 4th, like those draft picks are almost useless. Because yes, you do find like Tom Brady's in the 6th round or whatever, but like you do find good players that stick, or you find undrafted free agents, but like, it's almost like a 50-50 of like a 5th round pick actually making the final team. So like, if you have a chance, like, but if you have a 5th round pick and you have a chance to get a Damon Harrison, I would do it 1,000% of the time.
Well, we saw both ends of the spectrum this week with the Giants trading Damon Harrison for a 5th rounder and the Cowboys giving Oakland a 1st round pick for Amari Cooper.
Hold it's on. Not even Before the first round pick. Cooper, it's coupled with the money that they'll have to pay him. Like,
Hold on. Before we get into Cooper, wanted to go back to the Giants real quick and make note of the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. is the only first-round draft pick that we've kept in the past 8 years.
Oh, yeah, because you got rid of Eric Flowers 2 weeks ago.
We got rid of Eric Flowers. We've gotten rid of
I always love Eli mentioning Apple. That Eric Flowers was the pick directly before Todd Gurley.
We got rid of Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah. Where's
That's
he?
Right.
In his, where's he in his 1.5 hands?
He's with the Buccaneers.
Yeah. He's got his hook. I forgot about that. He replaced
Captain
his
hook.
Hand with a hook.
It's amazing how defensive players are able to do that, though. I remember a couple of years ago, Clay Matthews had a fractured hand or something, and he literally was just running around the field with a giant club, just whacking people with it.
But yeah, so Giants, I agree with your point, Jason. I don't know if a 5th round draft pick really holds any weight, in my opinion.
It seems to me like it has to be a money issue, and you're just getting whatever.
You're giving up a known person for a later draft pick.
Okay. Yeah, what if you're giving up a second-rate person for a 1st-round draft pick?
Well, a 1st-round draft pick is different.
That's different.
Even then.
Yeah.
Look at the Giants. They don't always work.
Honestly, I think Jerry Jones is senile. I have plenty of evidence to back this up, but this is probably the most glaring point of it. Honestly, a 1st-round pick for Amari Cooper? Really?
Was this all Jerry Jones?
It has to be. He does every job except head coach. And the reason that and here's another reason why Jerry's senile is he still has Jason Garrett as his head coach. Although you can make the argument, Jerry has kept Jason Garrett as head coach because it gives him a puppet. Because he knows Jason Garrett will do whatever he says.
Garrett's got strings attached to him, man.
So, Jerry is doing every single managerial piece of business in the Cowboys front office. A first round pick for Amari Cooper? Can
Matt,
you imagine
I don't know why
the
you're...
other receivers that you could get with a first round pick?
I love how they're all like trying. The Cowboys fans are like trying to make light of it, be like, "Oh well, I guess he's a better receiver than we have." And
yeah, because they don't have anybody.
I don't think we're gonna find a better receiver in the first round of the draft. That's what I keep hearing. I don't think we're gonna find a better receiver. Then don't take a receiver in the first round of the draft. Take somebody else.
Amari Cooper only has 2 games this season worth more than 100 receiving yards. He has 1 game with 10 catches or more, and he only has 1 touchdown on the entire season.
Yikes. I don't know.
Matt, I was going to say, I don't know why you're complaining so much. This should be good for you that Jerry Jones is pulling the strings up there.
I think it's hilarious.
This is good for all Eagles, all Redskins, all Giants fans.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what.
What does it mean for Amari Cooper in fantasy, though?
Nothing. Dakota Prescott is still playing quarterback for that team.
I don't know. I think
Dak versus 200 is still my favorite battle this season.
I think the only reason Dak is even remotely fantasy relevant is because he does rush the ball and he occasionally gets a rushing touchdown. That's
it. He doesn't normally. The past few weeks, that's kind of been his thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's never been known as really like a really mobile quarterback.
Dak has had 2 games this season, 2 where he has passed for more than 1 touchdown. Not good at all.
Woof.
Yeah.
And both games were 2 touchdowns. It wasn't like he's throwing like 4 touchdown games. He has had 2 games this season where he's passed for 2 touchdowns. Every other game it's 1 or 0.
I think though now that he has a weapon like Amari Cooper, he's going to go out of his way to target him.
A weapon. So Amari Cooper's a weapon now?
He's better than fucking white trash Cole
Beasley. A guy who has 1 touchdown on the season is a weapon now?
I mean, he is an upgrade over Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley, so...
Julio Jones is falling off a cliff.
I mean, he's still a weapon, though. Come on.
Julio Jones has 1 touchdown in his last, I believe it's 17 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bad rate, but...
Yeah, honestly, my poll a couple weeks ago of who will score a touchdown first, Devontae Freeman or Julio Jones, is honestly getting a little sad
standing?
At this point. Yeah.
It's still standing.
It might go to next year. It's sad at this point. I didn't think it would last this long.
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, who promptly went on IR the week later, and I actually thought about it, and I was like, that's probably over then. And Julio still hasn't done it.
Ito Smith owners, though.
Yeah. Stepping up there.
We'll say, speaking of your running backs, Darren Sproles, is he coming back this week?
Who fucking knows? Oh, God. That's the first F-bomb I've dropped on this show, by the way.
I'm surprised nobody's gone and picked him up yet in our league.
Sproles isn't practicing Wednesday. He expected Sproles to resume practicing this week, but apparently won't happen Wednesday.
Nice.
Sproles doesn't seem likely for Sunday's game against the Jaguars.
That's encouraging.
I can't deal with this anymore.
I think he's at least worth a third round draft pick.
Howie, please go get Le'Veon. Stop what you're doing. Drop everything you're doing and go get Le'Veon Bell.
You got 6 days. Was it the 30th, right? That's the trade deadline?
That's the trade
30th.
Deadline.
No, I don't think that...
Just do it.
Can he be traded while he hasn't reported?
Sure. They own the rights to him.
I thought that was the whole reason why he wasn't reporting this week when he originally said he was going to is because he wanted to wait till after the trade deadline.
No. He has to get there before week 10 in order for it to count as a full season.
Well, yeah.
And the initial reports about like week 7 or the bye week or something, I don't know where those came from because it never came from him.
God. Well, I think he had mentioned it to his teammates because I remember seeing Juju Smith-Schuster on SportsCenter literally like this past Saturday before this past Sunday games, and he said, "Oh yeah, we expect to have Le'Veon Bell back week 8. We're gonna be planning on having him." So,
well, damn.
I think I hit you up the next day or immediately after I saw that report of Juju himself saying that, And that's when I was like, Jason, you trying to trade me Le'Veon? And then later in the week, it came out that he wasn't reporting back week 8 either. And it was
I've pretty much always counted on week 10. And I think I texted you exactly this, Nick, because some other people have been asking me about Le'Veon as well. And like my asking price is pretty high because he's arguably top 3 caliber running back when he's healthy and when he's in there. Yeah. And right now, was probably
for that much though without knowing when he's going to be better.
But yeah, but when he's in there.
But I was saying my asking price was pretty high, but and some people were like, "Eh, I don't know." And I was like, "Listen, this is the lowest it's going to be because right now I've already withstood 6 weeks or 7 weeks of him not playing and he's still got maybe another 2 or 3 weeks out." So yeah, it's a little bit lower, but if you ask me again week 9, it's going to be way higher because I've already withstood all 9 weeks. And I've already waited all that time, so it would be stupid to get rid of him right as he's about to come back.
You're assuming the Steelers play him, too.
I am. Yes, I am. That is a big assumption. Yes.
The Steelers might just say, you know, you signed the franchise tag, but you're going to sit on the bench because James Conner's our guy.
I can easily see a scenario happening where Mike Tomlin just says, you know what, James Conner's been here all year. Sorry, bud, you're on the bench. I can see that happening.
I really hate Mike Tomlin. He's... there's so many things that he's done that I just do not like. And I mean, I honestly would not.
I love the whole standing out in the field thing, where like the player ran into him. He claimed like he was just facing the wrong direction.
Oh, when he tripped the player running up the sideline.
Oh, that's
he
right.
tripped the guy.
About
and he's
that.
Like, oh yeah, I didn't see it coming.
I love the video where he's like turns around. He's like, oh,
whoa.
He's.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
He's just not a good person, but. I could totally see him just out of straight pettiness just benching Le'Veon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
But I'm banking the other way, and I'm hoping that Le'Veon's skill will just shine through.
Anyway. So we're going to do things a little bit different today, now that we're 15 minutes into the show and just bullshitting about nonsense. But anyway, not nonsense, but. We got questions today. Because the last couple episodes ran a little bit long going matchup by matchup, so switch it up a little bit. Talk about some individual matchups if they need to be talked about, but we're going to start with some questions. So, first things first, who is the fantasy MVP so far this year? And it's a big one. We're halfway through the season at this point.
I think this one's obvious.
Yeah, I think so too. And Nick, I'm pretty sure you're going to say the exact same player I am. It's Todd Gurley. It has to be.
It has to be.
He's got like a 2.5 touchdown average per week.
Oh, it's insane.
The only player that even comes close, in my opinion. Well, I guess two.
I'd say Adam Thielen would be the next closest one.
I was going to say Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon might be.
Saquon is up there.
Saquon's up there.
I don't know. I feel like I like Melvin Gordon slightly more than Saquon in fantasy.
Mm-hmm. I think when you're looking at the fantasy MVP, it's the combination of the outrageous scoring outputs and consistency. And Adam Thielen has been that. Melvin Gordon has been that outside of missing this past week with an injury. And Saquon has been that. They've all scored, I think, at the minimum, like 15 points a game. But Todd Gurley has just been unbelievable.
Nick, are those numbers you're looking at full point PPR or half point?
Full point.
So Todd Gurley is averaging 28.6 points per week.
Just insane. And what's his lowest point total?
Lowest? 22 in week 1.
Good God.
Man.
He had 108 yards on the ground that week and 39 in the air.
With a receiving touchdown.
With a receiving touchdown.
Yeah, I feel like this is just a no-brainer. The fantasy MVP, the guy that a lot of people drafted at the top of their drafts, who just has been balling out every single game.
You know what's incredibly disappointing? Just unbelievably, unbelievably disappointing.
What?
Two years ago, I drafted Todd Gurley.
Oh,
he played,
that's
and he
right.
played really, really well. The following year.
Oh, yeah, he had that
year. He had that sophomore slump, and I gave up on keeping him, and I sent him back to the draft.
Well, I mean, can anybody blame you? He had a really bad year that year. That second year.
Yeah. This year, I would have had Todd Gurley in, like, the fifth round.
I think a lot of people might have expected a Trent Richardson kind of regression, to be honest, because Trent Richardson did the same thing. He had an amazing rookie year and kind of fell back to earth. Yeah, kind of fell back to earth this sophomore year and just never found it ever again.
Right, but I judged wrong.
I think, the key with Gurley, honestly, if you look at the Rams, though, if they had kept Fisher as a head coach, I think he would have stayed at that level. But McVay just completely turned everything around last year.
Well, they weren't going to keep Jeff Fisher.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I think that was probably the cause of his slump.
The guy whose main goal is to just finish 500?
Yeah.
That's about it.
Like the Marvin
Lewis. The guy that cut Nick Foles, who became Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, that guy. But just, yeah, I think that
so
could
everybody
probably
can
be
visualize
attributed
this,
to his slump more
I
than
am wearing my Super Bowl 52 champions t-shirt, just so everybody can visualize it.
Mm-hmm. Just so everybody can visualize it, this is what Matt sounds like when he gets punched.
Oh!
Ow!
Let's do that after every question.
All right, I'm down.
I don't like this game anymore.
Now Matt's thinking, all right, do I really want to lead into the next question
here? I wasn't sure whether Nick was going to hold back a little bit. Nick didn't really hold back on that punch. All right, so Todd Gurley's pretty much unanimous fantasy MVP. There's kind of a toss-up for the next couple.
I think Thielen would be my...
This arm is dead.
I think Thielen would be my wide receiver MVP. I know you said that Michael Thomas was up there for you.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
But I think Thielen's just like, I don't know. He's had the most impressive plays along with the production. He's had a couple highlight reel plays. I don't really remember.
So you want to go position by position? Best fantasy MVP by position? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, wide receiver, running back,
wide receiver
the two that are.
The next couple that you'd look at would be quarterback and tight end, and I think those are pretty obvious. I think quarterback's got to be Mahomes right now, and tight end has to be Ertz.
Yep, absolutely. Ertz is second in the league in receptions. Like out of everyone, running backs, receivers, he's second in the league behind Adam Thielen.
Kelsey's close.
There's more of an argument for number two and one there, but I feel like, Ertz.
Yeah, I mean, Ertz has 57 receptions with two touchdowns, 618 yards, and Kelsey is sitting at 38 receptions, one more touchdown at three, and then about 50 less yards at 563. So, yeah, Ertz is just, he's consistent. And like I was saying before, he's the high point totals with consistency. His lowest point total is 7.3 in week one, and that's... Honestly, out of a tight end position, that'll do just fine.
Yeah.
Just fine. I mean, I think you're sitting very high and mighty.
At a 7.3 per game. Yeah, in one game, 7.3, that's just fine out of a tight end position. But
now
then
imagine,
if you have the 22-point game or the 16.2 or that kind of thing, then
now
that
imagine
just
if you
better.
Had Pat Mahomes and Todd Gurley on the same fantasy team. That would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you're just trying to rub some things in right now.
Yeah, that would be something.
Imagine if I hadn't have had the bad luck of winning that stupid Madden tournament at the beginning of the year.
I'll tell you what.
Christian Hackenberg.
Christian Hackenberg led the Steelers to victory in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Green Bay Packers. I just had to end up with them, and they had to just finish first in the league. Man, if they couldn't have just finished third, I would have been totally fine. I would have taken, like, Zeke or something, and I would have been just dandy at running back.
Anyway, next question. Who is the biggest fantasy dud based on their draft status so far? I think my answer hits pretty close to the heart. Well, I mean, if you want to say, Le'Veon's the easy candidate.
Yeah.
Le'Veon's the easy candidate,
You could have seen that one coming, though, so I don't know if you can call that a dud.
Right. I would say Devontae Freeman, and it hurts.
Yeah.
It really hurts.
That's true. Yeah, he might be up there.
Just like your arm.
Yeah, the arm's feeling better. Devontae Freeman's hole in my lineup is not.
And I guess with this, we can take out injuries, too, because, like, Fournette would probably qualify, but it's, like, an injury, so you can't really fault him.
Well, Freeman was underperforming prior to the injury,
yeah, that's
too.
That's exactly, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, if you toss the injury in there, he's the easy candidate, but he was underperforming prior to the injury.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go a different route for my fantasy dud, and it would be a fourth-round pick, Chris Hogan.
I think in most drafts, he
was going fourth or fifth, maybe sixth or something like that, and he didn't do it. Like, and he had the best opportunity for the first four games too. Like, they didn't have Josh Gordon for a couple games. They didn't have Edelman. It was pretty much just him, Brady, Gronk, and James White. and he just couldn't do anything, man. Yep. I mean, I think he had one good week, and he's dropped in most leagues, I think.
He usually would go fourth or fifth, unless Hammy Hungerbueller is drafting.
Oh, God.
In our league, he took him in the fourth round, but he is commissioner of a league that I am also in. It's a 16-man league. So it's a deep league. So you're at pick 32 by the end of the second round. But
he took him in that league in the fourth round, or he took him in our league?
He took him in our league in the fourth round. But in this league...
Did he take him in that league too?
Oh, yes. Very, very early.
Very early. Right.
Second round, 31st overall.
Ooh, damn. That hurts.
That's an investment. Ham.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're listening or not, but come on, man.
No bueno.
31st overall, and he is still hanging on to him with some hope.
Yeah, it's not there anymore. League.
He is still owned.
Yeah. I feel like he's the fantasy dud for me because he wasn't like a first or second round pick, but I mean, he was high enough that you expect him to be the number one or number two positionally on your team. Like, you expect him to be either the wide receiver one or wide receiver two at the minimum. And he had a great opportunity at the beginning of the year with a lot of volume, and there was no injury, nothing happened. He just didn't do it, and he's dropped by now in most leagues. So I think he's got to be at the top of the fantasy dud list.
Yep.
I will say, from a personal standpoint, I don't know if he's like a major dud, but I would say Keenan Allen has kind of been underperforming, at least.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten the touchdown. All the touchdowns have gone to Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, their running backs are getting all their receiving touchdowns too. Eckler has like three or four receiving touchdowns, so he's probably got more than Keenan Allen.
Yeah, he's been really involved. And all I think the other problem is the Chargers' offense is so many deep balls. Like Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams, I think each have like two or three 50-yard touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Tyrell Williams had two in one game on back-to-back plays.
Yeah, I know. I was saying, I think last week it was funny how the Williams swapped roles. It was everybody wanted Mike Williams as the Chargers' number two receiver, and now everybody wants Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, I think either one is going to swap roles depending on the week, so I don't really have faith in either of them. But yeah, like they're getting the big plays. Either one of them is getting the home runs. They're getting the touchdowns, and Keenan Allen is just kind of left out to dry.
I'd say another pretty big dud would be, compared to where he was drafted, Kerryon Johnson.
That's a good one.
I think that obviously he's a rookie, so coming into the league, you don't know how he's going to be, but a lot of people projected him to kind of come out of that Detroit Lions backfield as the lead guy and kind of take on the feature role, because he got a couple mid-tier running backs behind him on the depth chart, so you think that it's prime situation for a rookie to come in there and make a big noise, but he didn't do that at all. He's finally starting. He's been good, but I think people kind of expected him to be more of a 15-point performer, where he's been more of a 10-11 point performer.
And I think the other issue with Kerryon is he's still competing with LeGarrette. I think even though he's carved out a big role, LeGarrette's still getting the goal line touches.
Yeah.
But actually, if you're looking at rookie running backs, like, yes, Kerryon has been a dud based on where you draft him, but not nearly as bad as Ronald Jones.
Oh, yeah. If you drafted a Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back, then you've made a mistake.
Yeah,
you probably got more for the past 3 years.
More issues than just that. But I think, I want to say AMAC took him, like, very, very early, and I don't think he was on AMAC's roster within 2 or 3 weeks because he coach's decision a couple times, like not even injured.
He made some questionable draft calls.
I think he's making it up though. He's wheeling and dealing. I think he's gotten some pretty good trades. I think he's sold high on
Diggs.
He's
wheeling and
dealing. Are you saying he's made up for it by making a trade with you?
Maybe. I mean, he's made some good. Like, he made a good trade with Chris. He sold high on Diggs.
But
Ron Jones in the fifth round. Damn.
But yeah, I think it's funny, speaking of Tampa Bay Buccaneers running backs, that Doug Martin seems to be one of the free agent finds this week.
That's right.
He's on obviously not the Buccaneers anymore. He's on the Raiders. And it seems to be that Amari Cooper getting traded has increased Doug Martin's value in some way. But I don't really see it being a thing. They have that... Oh, yeah, Marshawn Lynch also got injured. That's what's really doing it. But still, they got Jalen Richard, or whatever. His name is Rashard. And he's definitely looking like the better... At least for fantasy, he looks like the better option. Yeah. Doug Martin washed up.
Well, we'll see. It's going to depend whether he gets the goal line carries. Who's the other guy for Oakland?
Jalen Rashard,
but it looks like he gets most of the receptions out of the backfield.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be one of those things. If Doug Martin gets a bunch of goal line touches, he's going to see some points for production.
I don't think he sees 10 points with a touchdown at most. I don't think he's really reliable.
We'll see.
What's the next question?
I spent $15 on him this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't even mean for that to be at you, but it is.
We'll see.
You spent, like, I'd say a third of your remaining budget on him.
Well, I had
okay, what, a quarter of your remaining
60,
budget.
60, I had, like, 64 going into it. Spent $15. I'm at 49.
Oh, he's at $49 left on the season to spend. The rest of us are all above $100.
Remind us how much you spend on Corey Clement again? I think I forgot.
Well, I just went all in on it. Spent $69 because why not?
Oh, I went full send.
I went full send.
At least you can admit it.
Yeah. I did it out of the point where I was 0-4 at that point. 0-4, 0-5, something like that.
I got my investment in my starting lineup this week. Doug Baldwin, my major investment. Keenan Allen on bye. I got
Doug Baldwin. It amazes me that Doug Baldwin got dropped in our league.
Yeah.
That was,
It was one of those things where, like I said, it said an MCL tear, which sounded a lot worse than it was.
You dropped a lot on him, too. You dropped, like, 40.
I dropped like 60, probably.
60? I was going to say, I think I bid like 35 on him.
All of my
lost.
Money's gone to TJ Yeldon and Doug Baldwin. That's pretty much where all my money's gone.
I was
so going to
say, you dropped a lot of money on Doug Baldwin, and I think everybody bid on him. You went all in.
I hit the magic number.
Yeah, you did. Anyway, speaking of a lot of things, brings us to our next one. Look at that segue. Who has the best single game performance so far this season in fantasy football?
I got one
I'd
lined
say
up real quick.
Todd Gurley in every single week.
In every single week.
I think looking at 1 week specifically, it might be Alvin Kamara, and I'm sorry, Nick, week 4 against the New York Football Giants. He scored 38.6 points.
Offended.
And listen to this stat line, though. 19 rushes for 134 yards and 3 touchdowns, chipping in 5 catches and 47 yards receiving. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
38.6 points.
He had a good matchup.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing was he matched that week 1. He had 38. He had the exact same number, 38.6 points week 1, where he had 2 rushing touchdowns, but had 9 catches for 112 yards and a receiving touchdown as well.
Well,
When he's on, he's pretty damn good.
I can one up you, and that's Patrick Mahomes in week 2 against the Steelers.
Oh yeah,
when Patrick Mahomes threw for 326 yards and 6 touchdowns, he got 38.8 points that week.
Yeah, he's on another level.
38.8. He threw for 6 touchdowns that week, and I mean that's not an. Speaking of 6 touchdown games, what about Trubisky's 6 touchdown game?
Yeah, he's had a good couple stretches.
Sorry, Trubisky might take the cake here.
Yeah,
Trubisky, week 4 against Tampa Bay. 354 yards, 6 touchdowns, 3 rushes for 53 yards, and 43.3 fantasy points. Unbelievable. Mitch Trubisky.
Gotta love the quarterbacks. They can have those big, big boom weeks. I'd like to go with a position player, though, and I'm going to keep this one close to my heart and go with Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
In week 6 against the Philadelphia Eagles. He, despite how bad the team did, managed to get 130 yards on the ground on 13 carries, averaging 10 yards a carry with the touchdown. And then in the air, he also added 9 catches for 99 yards.
It's amazing.
Equivalent to a 37-point performance.
Some weeks, he's been their best receiver. When Odell gets like
some
6 catches or something, like a lot, he's been amazing.
He's the best receiver most weeks.
Yeah. I mean, didn't want to discredit how good Odell is because he is very good, but like Saquon is just, I don't know if it's because of Eli's style of he's kind of a deer in the headlights when the rush gets to him that he just throws it to Saquon, but
well,
he
thank
just,
God
he's
we
so
have
valuable in the slot or in the flat.
This is the first time we've had
up.
A running back who can actually catch the ball and then do something with it. Because if it weren't for that, our team would look even worse. You know,
it's amazing when he gets the ball, whether it's on a reception or whether it's on a rush. I feel like the first guy has like a 5% tackle rate on him. Like he makes everyone miss and then gets another like 3 or 4 yards.
But yeah, I think I'm most impressed by the running backs who have good days on the ground and then also in the air. Obviously
you get
wide receivers who get 100 plus yards and 10 catches, but that's not that unusual. I mean, it's very nice for you as an owner when that happens. But the running back getting 10-plus catches is very nice as well.
Yeah, because a receiver doing that doesn't equate to 38 points where a running back would.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, up next.
Up next, we have... is the fantasy dominance from Brady and Gronk over? I'll tell you what. The Philadelphia Eagles ended
Jesus.
The Patriots dynasty. Super Bowl 52.
I think Father Time ended that dynasty.
41-33. Nick is eyeing up my left bicep right now. Anyway, yes, the domination is over. Everybody should just find Brandon Graham, shake his hand, say thank you across the league, all 31 other teams.
I think Tom Brady is still here.
Shut the fuck up, man.
I think. Gronk is gone, at least from the top tight end in the league. His dominance is over. He's still going to be a good tight end candidate, and he's still going to have weeks where he probably gets 20-plus points, but it's not going to be regular. He's not going to get 15-plus points every week like he used to. So I think to that extent, the run is over. But Brady, I don't think he's gone anywhere. I think he's still the same fantasy quarterback he's ever been, where he's got plenty of options to throw it to, and even the running back that they use, he catches more passes than he does run the ball. So I think that Tom Brady is just fine.
Yeah, I think, I mean, with Gronk, obviously he's still going to be valuable because the tight end position is so thin this year. I mean, it's thin all the time, but it's especially thin this year with some injuries and stuff. But yeah, you look at some of his point totals and like he has a 7-catch, 123-yard, 1-touchdown game to start off the season, but then he follows it up with a 2 catches, 15 yards, 4 for 51, 4 for 44, like just kind of middling around, and he always seems to be injured. But in the past years, he'll miss a game and then come back and have a 25-point game, and then he might miss a couple games, and then he'll come back and have a stretch where he averages like 18 a game or something. And I just don't see that happening anymore, especially with Gordon in there, James White getting a lot of targets, Edelman always getting his targets, them running the ball a little bit more whenever Michelle gets back in there. I just don't see Gronk keeping up the dominance anymore. I don't think he finishes higher than a top 5 tight end this year, and that's even generous just based on how thin the position is. And then for Brady, I think even looking at his point totals, the highest he's had so far is 27. So I don't think he's going to get those like 35-point, like, 4-touchdown games where he doesn't throw any picks or anything. Like, I think the only time he'll have really good games is when he gets in shootouts because his defense isn't stopping the other team or something. So, I think the dominance is over.
Brady's had more than 20 points in the last 3 weeks, but before those last 3 weeks, he was below 20, including a week 3 total of 7.2 points against Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit is the most shocking part of that, too.
You know, Brady's averaging...
It was Matt Patricia, that's what it was.
Brady's averaging just under 19 points a week. He is the 10th-ranked fantasy quarterback right now.
Matt Patricia knew him. He knew how they were going to run it. It's the only explanation I have for that.
Yeah, and it's one of Detroit's few wins this year.
Yeah, right.
You know, they celebrated that win like it was the Super Bowl.
Not as hard as the Browns celebrated their first win.
Yeah, that was actually... Rightfully honestly, so. No, that's embarrassing. You're celebrating one win.
Yeah, but when you're so bad...
People were rioting in the streets.
Lot. That's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, but like...
Like, congratulations, you won a game. You won game. You won one. Congratulations.
Do you know how tall that hump was that they had to get over? That took a lot.
Do I know how tall that hump was for them to get over? It was 58 years since the Eagles won a championship. 58 years. Yes, I know how big that hump was.
Yeah,
we
but you're
suffered,
not from Cleveland.
And we suffered, and we are still reigning champions right now, even at 3-4. We are the reigning Super Bowl champions.
You're not from Cleveland, though. Like, they had to deal with that along with it.
You know what? They shouldn't have moved that original Browns team to Baltimore then.
Although, Matt, it kind of against the Eagles' point here, I think even without the championship, I saw some stat recently, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but the Eagles, even without the championships, were still like the third highest winning team as far as percentages
in the last 40 years. They went to the NFC Championship game 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
Went to the Super Bowl one of those times. And then they went back to the NFC Championship again in 2008.
I mean, it wasn't like they were going 2-14 every other
Andy
year or something.
Andy Reid's
like,
record as a Philadelphia Eagles head coach was crazy.
Yeah, like there was a long period of them winning games but just not winning the Super Bowl. So it's not
it
like
was
there was
a
this
couple of those
Browns
years,
level
the one
futility.
Seat. They had home field advantage.
Yeah.
They had really good teams in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. but...
And it was decades of success.
But never crossed that bridge up until 2018. Anyway, moving on. Next question. Which NFL team has the best collection of fantasy talent? Now, I think it's interesting because I think there's two options for you to pick from here.
I think there's three.
Really?
There might be four if you look at it.
The very easy answers
the
Rams
and
the Chiefs.
The Chiefs,
exactly.
Yeah. Those are the easy ones. And then second, I would put...
Pittsburgh?
No, the Vikings and
I was
going to
say
Patriots.
The Vikings and Pittsburgh.
Vikings and Pittsburgh?
I don't think I'd say Patriots.
I could put Pittsburgh in there, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh, you look at it, they have Antonio Brown and Juju, who are probably both... They're probably both wide receiver ones. And then you have
James
Big Ben.
James Conner's an RB1 right now?
Yeah, James Conner, he's an RB1. Whenever Le'Veon gets back, he'll be an RB1. And then Big Ben is probably a low-end QB1, maybe high-end QB2 or something.
Big Ben's averaging a decent amount right now.
Yeah, so I feel like it comes down to Chiefs, Rams, Vikings, and Steelers.
Big Ben's the 12th-ranked quarterback, averaging 17.3 a week.
That's meh.
Yeah, I mean, he's a high-end QB, too. But, yeah, I would say my answer is the Chiefs, just because Mahomes is probably the number one quarterback. He'll probably finish as the number one quarterback. They have
Mahomes,
Kareem Hunt, who's...
Hunt,
yeah,
Tyreek
he's just
Hill,
balling out. Tyreek, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins can be an RB.
Throw Sammy Watkins' name in there.
He can be a wide receiver, too, at some points. But, yeah, I think I kind of hesitate with the Rams, just because, obviously, Gurley is the fantasy MVP, and they have three wide receivers, but Cooper Kupp's been out. And I was actually kind of thinking about this.
Cooper Kupp missed 1 week. I mean, he left the game early, but he only missed 1 week. He's back.
Is he back? I didn't know if he was back for this week or not.
He's not going to be fully healthy this game, though, I don't think.
Yeah. But
he's off?
I think
no, he got downgraded. He's doubtful now.
Yeah.
Doubtful. It was up higher.
I think my hesitation, though, with Jared Goff, and I realized this during the game the other day, is his team is too good for him to be a good fantasy quarterback. Like, he had a good actual football game the other day, but he had a bad fantasy football game because he didn't even play the fourth quarter because his team was dominating so much that he didn't have to pass the ball, like, the entire second half. So
I think
the best Mahomes
fantasy
player
on that team is Sean McVay.
Yeah, oh, for
he's
sure.
The one. He's
but,
the best fantasy player.
Yeah, I was realizing that Jared Goff is no longer in that, you know, always must-start quarterback range because when you look at his games this year, his two best games were definitely against the two best teams they played. So that meant his team was in the game longer, so he had to throw the ball in the fourth quarter. The two games he had his best games, he had a 25-point game and a 39-point game against the Chargers and the Vikings. And every other game this year against the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Broncos, the 49ers, he had kind of subpar games because his team wins so much. Yeah, I just kind of, I mean, I don't know why I got it in my head that he was a must-start. Maybe like he doesn't really make mistakes. He has a lot of weapons. But then on the flip side, his team is so good and the defense is so good that they just dominate other teams, and he doesn't even get a chance to throw in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I will say, aside from fantasy, the Rams are definitely the most complete team in the NFL.
Oh, like, for sure.
Offense, defense, top to bottom, every position.
Goff is not Wentz, though.
That's true.
Goff is not Wentz.
But yeah, and then like when you look at the Rams' offense too, they don't really.
I think he is happy being himself.
The Rams don't really put like Goff in a position.
Goff or Wentz? Seriously, honest answer. Would you rather build a team around Goff or Wentz?
It's hard to really get a grasp on Goff because his team doesn't really like let him loose. You know,
Wentz's numbers are better than pre-injury.
I said definitely Wentz pre-injury. Those injuries scare me a little bit. You know, I need
his numbers are better right now.
Small sample size, okay. You need to let's reevaluate at the end of the season. How many wins does he have now? What's his win percentage now compared to before? That's not good. That's not better. So.
They got a lot of season in the division, super weak. And that is a fact. The division is awful.
Yeah, not good.
The NFC East is either the best division in football or the worst division in football
no matter what, it's always competitive. You can always count on the NFC East being competitive. It's either just really, really good or just really, really bad. And this is one of the really bad years.
I feel like more often than not, it always comes down to the last game of the season to decide who gets into the playoffs.
Mm. Well, I remember one year very specifically. Jesus, it actually did come down to the no. It's seriously,
the Cowboys.
2008, 2009. It actually did come down to an Eagles Cowboys game to decide who went as the wild card team, the sixth seed in the playoffs.
And then it happened again a couple years later, where Brandon Boykin made that interception.
See, I'll never, ever be able to truly appreciate that in football coming down to the last week of the season because I'll always remember, sorry to bring up a different sport, the Flyers a few years back to get into the playoffs. It came down to them or the Rangers, and they were playing each other the last game of the season, and it went into a shootout. So that was Brian Boucher saved our asses that game. But that was the most exciting end of the season that I will say I could have ever seen in sports.
Here's a great one. Who has been the best waiver wire pickup this year?
Waiver wire pickup. Well, I'd say Doug Baldwin for our league.
All right, well, that's, I mean, no one's doing that.
I would say mine is Eric Ebron. I don't think anyone drafted him because a lot of people expected Jack Doyle to be the starting tight end over there, and then he got injured. But you look at Eric Ebron, and the dude is leading the league in touchdowns. He has six touchdowns. Or he might be second behind Calvin Ridley or something. But he's got six touchdowns as a tight end in a very weak position. So he's the number third ranked tight end right now behind Kelce and Ertz. And he's been solid. Like, he'll have his lowest point total was this past week. He had 4.6. But other than that, he went 15, 27, 12.5, 5.8, 10.1, 13.1. I mean, he's been solid the whole year. I think Eric Ebron's got to be it.
I have two, and one's kind of a dark horse candidate. First one's Matt Breida. You know, a lot of people had their drafts.
Oh, God. After that last performance?
I mean, the dude's a bionic man. He's dealing with, like, four injuries at the moment.
There's been ups and downs, but you have to realize a waiver wire running back pickup, you're already in trouble. But Breida has been a reliable substitute, especially since most people had their drafts before Jerick McKinnon got hurt. A lot of people drafted Jerick McKinnon. So when they found out Breida was actually going to get the carries, grabbed Breida off the waiver wire, and for the most part, he's been doing a solid job. For a while, he actually led the league in rushing yards for the first four
weeks
of the season.
Yeah, I remember asking the question. I think it was 3 weeks into the season. The passing, rushing, and receiving leaders were Fitzpatrick, Breida, and DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. And then my dark horse candidate is actually kind of funny. It's Dan Bailey. Dan Bailey gets signed by Minnesota. Week one, Minnesota doesn't do anything. Or the week one that he plays, Minnesota doesn't do anything against Buffalo. But following that, game against the Rams, 12 points. Against the Eagles, 11 points. Against the Cardinals, 10 points. Against the Jets, 13 points. All from your kicker. You got a high-powered offense, and you know for a fact that a high-powered offense is going to rely on their kicker for extra points. He's just going to rack up point totals there. Dan Bailey is not a bad waiver wire pickup right now for your kicker.
I have two different categories as well. First one is going to be for the running backs. The top-tier running backs who have gotten hurt, I think, out of their backups who have kind of taken over lead roles for multiple weeks. T.J. Yeldon has been the pickup over, for instance, Latavius Murray and Tevin Coleman.
I feel like Yeldon got drafted in most leagues, though.
You think so?
Yeah, he might have. I know Coleman for sure got drafted in pretty much all
Coleman
leagues.
Definitely got drafted, yeah. But still, like...
But yeah, like a backup who kind of got thrust into the starting role. Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But I think out of the injury running back fillers, T.J. Yeldon has been the best, and he's been the most reliable to be an RB1 in the absence of the starter. So in that sense, I think T.J. Yeldon's been a good pickup. Obviously, I had to spend some money to pick him up off the waiver wire. But then in the other sense of just players who have done well, who are definitely waiver wire people, Tyler Boyd. And Calvin Ridley were my other two in that category. Calvin Ridley's kind of fizzled off a little bit. He's definitely come back down to earth with the Atlanta Falcons kind of struggling altogether as a team. He's kind of seen those effects bleed over towards his stats a little bit. But Tyler Boyd, I'm still confident in him. I think that the Bengals have been a very high-powered offense this year in particular. And he's been one of their best options. AJ Green, you always have questions with him and his ability to catch the ball. Despite him being one of the top receivers in the NFL and being one of the top targets for Andy Dalton, Tyler Boyd has definitely stepped in and taken a much bigger role this year than in years past. Definitely one of the top free agent finds this year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think the whole Bengals offense has been pretty good. Outside of getting completely shut down by the Chiefs this past week, I think they've been doing very well. I like Joe Mixon a lot. I think he can do a lot the rest of the way. And then obviously AJ Green's amazing, and Tyler Boyd stepped up hugely. I mean, where a lot of people thought John Ross would be the guy, and a lot of people took John Ross at the very end of their draft, hoping that he could kind of emerge the same way Tyler Boyd did, and just never did. And there's Tyler Boyd stepping in.
Another sleeper candidate for waiver wire pickup would be Tyler Lockett. Obviously, yeah. He's going to be benefiting because Doug Baldwin was injured as well. But still, he's definitely somebody who trusted by playing with him. He has only one game this season that he hasn't caught a touchdown in. So he's...
Wow.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Damn, did not do that.
Numbers
that's
aren't
amazing.
Crazy, but very consistent. So that's definitely a good
only number. Owned by 73% of leagues.
Yep. So you can still a waiver wire pickup if you can go find him.
If you're in that 27%.
Doug Baldwin's now been back for 2 weeks, and
that
he's caught a touchdown in both of those weeks.
27% is like four-man leagues.
Yeah.
Anyway, two questions left. Which injury... Who put that in there?
These were all Jason.
Which injury has been the biggest fantasy season killer?
I'd say a third-round pick, usually, when those guys go down, that hurts.
Third round, also your second round, both of them. Especially when it's both of them.
Yeah.
Devontae Freeman and Jay Ajayi for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always rough.
Second round hurts, but that third round hurts even more when it's Jay Ajayi. Yeah.
But it's both of them, and it's hurt my team severely. Both of my top running backs out for the season. Well, Devontae Freeman could come back at the earliest week 16. So if you think you're going to make the championship and you trust him, maybe you stash him, who even knows.
And but, at that point, you'd just be hoping to God that the Falcons are in playoff contention, because if they're sitting at 7-8 and they're way out of the playoffs, then there's no way they play Freeman, because it wouldn't even make sense anyway.
So, yeah, Devontae Freeman definitely, definitely hurts a lot of teams, including my own. JJ hurts my own, but Devontae Freeman, I think, is the bigger one. And then you can make the argument for Fournette, too.
Yeah, Fournette was my answer, because he was a first-round pick for pretty much everyone. I don't think he made it out of the first round in hardly any drafts. So you're counting on him to be like your RB1, get all the goal line opportunities in a Jags offense that was supposed to be like fairly good and ahead in most games because their defense was supposed to be so good. And yeah, Fournette, I think
his
expectations.
I'm not sure Fournette was a first round pick in every league.
He was a second rounder usually.
He was no later than second round.
I thought he was like pick number like 7 to 9 in most drafts.
No. There was usually 7 or 8. What? Or
I can think of 7 or 8 going into this season that I probably would have picked before him right now easily.
But regardless, he's a good one. I think that the biggest disappointment has been actually Dalvin Cook, though, because he's one of those guys that he's like week to week, so he's giving you hope every week that he's going to be back, and then it's always just like a couple days before Sunday, it's like, he's going to be out this week.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, but it's just like he's been out just like the rest of them.
Well, that's Fournette, too.
Fournette's been... He's had the hamstring issue though, so it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's more expected that he's going to be out, but I'd say Dalvin Cook has shown more hope that he's coming back every week, like midweek, and that's what makes him slightly more of a disappointment, is the hope that you're going to get him back every week. Devontae Freeman, his disappointment comes in the fact that he was just put on the IR. So that's really just the nail in the coffin, along with having the exact same running back situation as Fournette. And,
yeah, that's true. There's some finality to it.
Both your top running backs hit IR. That is as painful as it can possibly get, guys.
I think regardless of which running back it is, though, it has to be a running back, because those are guys that like you draft to anchor your team, and it's a lot harder to find their replacements versus a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, who you can easily go out on the waiver wire and find an Andy Dalton, find a Mitchell Trubisky, find someone just week to week who might not match the average that a Jimmy Garoppolo would put out, but they'll get close. But then on the flip side, if you have that running back, let's say a healthy Leonard Fournette would average 15, you're not finding a guy who can get any more than 10 on the waiver wire. If that, I think if you go to the waiver wire to find the replacement for your injured running back, you're not even going to cover half of the expected value.
Ugh. You know what really hurts?
What's that?
I could have saved...
Your arm?
No, well, it actually feels better, but I could have saved my running back scenario.
How?
Prior to week one...
Somebody offer you a trade?
No, prior to week one, I was looking at available players... And I saw James Conner, and I kept scrolling.
Oh.
I didn't add him.
Nobody built. I don't know.
And literally 24 hours later, Pete added him.
I honestly feel like one in every six people really believed James Conner was going to be that good this year. So
I scrolled past his name.
Every league had somebody take him.
Well, the season preview, Matt was not on the James Conner train.
No, I wasn't, and clearly it showed. But anyway, final question for tonight. Who is the biggest pedigree bust this year?
What's that mean?
Pedigree is a type of dog food. you can get it at most Petcos.
Not all of them, though.
I see commercials for it on the TV. That's about as much as I got. Bust. Brian Dawkins has a bust of his face in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So which version of pedigree
dog
is the worst?
We're talking about dog food Brian Dawkins statues is what
so
I got here.
My train of thought was the pedigree. So the guy that you're drafting purely, or maybe not purely, but you're drafting him higher, or you're holding on to him longer purely because of the name value, because of what they've done in the past. And
pedigree's
the example,
a good name.
The example that I thought of was Larry Fitzgerald. And it pains me to say it, But right now, he's at wide receiver 61. His offense is atrocious. His quarterback has changed halfway through the year. And I think a lot of people either drafted him high thinking that, you know, it's Larry. He'll do what Larry does. Or it doesn't matter that Sam Bradford is the one throwing him the ball, and then they're maybe holding on to him too long. And at this point, it's just you gotta just bite the bullet and cut the cord, man. I mean, his days of being that number one receiver are long gone.
Yeah, I think another guy drafted based off of the name would be LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
He was another guy who...
That's true.
I drafted him not really... I think I drafted him as my running back two in the one league that I took him in, but it was one of those things where I drafted him as my running back two thinking like he could be running back one potential.
Yeah, and based on the volume like opportunity a flex alone.
Player
yeah.
at best, so...
The guy I would pick would be Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Ooh, true.
People, you know, there are a couple quarterbacks that people always reach for. Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the four guys that people reach for. If you reach for Russell Wilson right now, you're really feeling it. He's the 21st ranked quarterback. He's averaging 15.9 points per week right now.
And I think we talked about before, his rushing has just not been there. And
really
I don't know
hasn't.
Why. Yeah.
He's had his highest rush total this year is 21 yards.
Very cool. Unusual. Very unusual. Usually he's getting at least that every game.
Absolutely. If not more. Yeah, I mean, the rushing was what made him a fantasy MVP a couple times, I think.
Yep. And not only that, but his rushing ability also led to him being able to pass the ball more, you know, because of his escapability and just being able to get out of the pocket and throw the ball. I haven't watched too much Seahawks football. I don't know if he's doing that or not, but he's definitely not going past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and you can't even make the case that it's because Lynch left, because even last year, without Marshawn Lynch and with not a solid running game, he was still the fantasy MVP last year. And not much has really changed outside of Doug Baldwin having an injury, so I can't really say why he's been so flat this year. I don't know.
But yeah, he would... It's rough because a lot of people did reach for him. Like I said, there's only a couple quarterbacks that are worth drafting prior to the fifth round, and you would think going into the year that he was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're drafting based on the past production. I mean, also what you think he can do going forward, but... Yeah, it's the past production that you're saying, oh, yeah, he was a baller last year. He's got to keep doing the same thing.
Yeah. Players like that every year. They're definitely
Matthew Barrett, he says, Wilson's awakening is coming. You know what that means? You should drop Russell Wilson right now.
It's question mark. Is it coming?
I don't know.
Clickbait. They need you to actually listen to get the answer.
Speaking of clickbait... Adam Schefter.
Oh, yeah, dude, they were making fun of him on SportsCenter last night for that.
Adam Schefter. Great.
So the Giants traded Eli Apple day before?
Yesterday.
And Adam Schefter just tweets out of nowhere, so the Giants are trading Eli, .. And then follows it up with, Eli Apple traded.
I forget which anchor it was, but he posted Schefter's tweet on the screen, and it was like, so Adam Schefter, and then he like put his finger in his mouth like it's the fish hook, and he's like sitting there. I think it was Everett.
Oh my god!
But yeah,
Schefter was some clickbait.
Yeah, classic Schefter, man. That's how he gets all those clicks.
Now the question is, how does he get all those sources? I'll tell you
true.
What.
He's the only person on ESPN that's allowed to just, like, look at his phone and be on
his
phone.
Oh, my God. He sits at the desk while the people are talking and just
on
scrolls
air.
Through his phone. Hey, just so you know, my source inside Detroit's locker room has said.
My favorite was, who was it? For the Amari Cooper deal. I was watching NFL Live when it happened, and he didn't report it. They reported it from Josina Anderson. And so you could see him, like, when... I forget whoever the host was said it. You saw him like kind of like look like, really? Like somebody else found this out first? Not 2 minutes later, he was the one that was reporting what the trade was. And that was a first rounder.
I just like how 2 minutes later they started tweeting, Cooper traded to the Cowboys. reported by Josina Anderson and confirmed by Adam Schefter.
Well, Adrian Wojnarowski in the NBA is the same exact thing. I was listening to this podcast of the Sixers guys, and the guy who broke the Brian Colangelo story was his name, Ben Dietrich. So he was on this Sixers podcast, and they were asking him the story about it. And apparently,
it was on Deadspin.
Is where he released it. But apparently, like 2 days before he released the story, he went to the Sixers front office in their communications department and their PR, whatever, and he said, "Hey, I have this story. If you don't comment in the next 2 days, I'm releasing it." And they literally came back to him and said, "Okay, well, can we have Adrian Wojnarowski release it instead?" And the guy's like, "No, I'm releasing it. It's my story. You're not just pawning it off to Adrian Wojnarowski."
Mm.
So these guys are like ingrained in front offices. Like they must
it's
have
a dream
some.
Job, man.
They must
it's
have
a dream
something
job
that
right
like
there.
Teams like give them so much information and like want them on
it's,
their
it's
side.
It's not even. It's not even like it's one of those things. I forget what it was. It was something about Carson's injury, like week two or something like that. You know, everything was coming out about it, and they were asking Doug in his press conference about reports from Ian Rappaport. And Doug goes, "I don't know who is feeding this guy information, but it's not us." So, like, they have embedded sources, which, I mean, if I'm in the front office of a team, I don't want anybody, you know, sending information out to those guys. It's company information. It's insider information. I'd be mad about it. So it's one of those things, like, I wonder whether ESPN gives Schefter a budget to pay off sources. Like, I probably. You know what I mean? They give him a budget. Like, you can offer this guy $10,000 for the year if he relays team information to us and it turns out to be true.
Yeah.
I think what ends up happening with Schefter and Woj is they'll have their contacts are like the players themselves or like the PR reps or something. Like maybe it's a PR rep for, let's say, the New Orleans Saints or something, and they'll give Adrian or they'll give Adam Schefter just like a little tidbit of information just to make him happy so that he'll spin it in a positive light for the Saints. Or maybe the next story he'll make the Saints look good, or he'll make a specific player look good or something, or maybe a player will give him some information about someone else so that if something ever happens to that player who gave him the information, maybe the player does something stupid, then Adam Schefter won't make it seem like he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, he'll phrase it in a more positive light. So I think it's, these guys have just established such a monopoly on the control of information that people give them information just so the next story they make it seem better, or they make it seem more positive, or they don't come out and say, "Oh, so-and-so was arrested on a drunk driving call, something, they're an idiot," or whatever. They might, like, downplay it more and make it, like, more positive for them.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening more often than not.
You guys want to do some, I know we're getting close to our time limit, you guys want to do some Twitter?
Let's do it.
Twitter questions?
If you want to.
All right, we'll get some going here. Let's see, we got which running back to start in a half-point PPR league? Mark Ingram, Tevin Coleman, or Carlos Hyde? And they also say that Baltimore defense scares me.
I think it's not Carlos Hyde.
The Saints are playing against Baltimore this week.
Yeah, Ingram had a slow game last week. And you know for a fact Tevin Coleman's getting the brunt of pretty much everything coming out of Atlanta's backfield right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tevin Coleman. I think that's a good pick there.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Mark Ingram is still going to be the guy there. I think he had an off week, but he will rebound. But, of course, I'm the Mark Ingram believer, so, of course, I'm going to say that.
Nick Chubb or Christian McCaffrey?
Is that a question?
Yeah, it's got to be CMC.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's... Why would he tweet that?
Travis Hughes, 95.
Yeah.
Travis Hughes, 95, if you listen to
IQ, get out of here, kid.
Yeah, come on, man.
Fantasy right. amateur.
Lamar Miller
here.
Or Philip Lindsay?
Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, I gotta go with Philip
Lindsay. I'm not
Lindsay.
A Lamar Miller believer.
Neither am I. Plus with Royce Freeman being hurt this week. I don't know if he's necessarily out this week, but he's hurt, so...
It's got to be
either
Phil
way.
Lindsay, yeah.
Lindsay's
I mean,
the guy.
Even with limited touches, he's just been so electric. Like, his per rush or per catch yardage is crazy.
Yeah.
I did see
here's a here's a trade that's kind of interesting. Adam Thielen for Tyreek Hill.
Oh.
Yeah, bit, two big names and a straight up one for one. I think I want to. This person also has Pat Mahomes is their quarterback.
Yeah.
So they're giving up Adam Thielen to get the quarterback wide receiver combo.
I mean with
I don't know.
With Thielen you're getting that consistent, like at this point he's been putting up like 20 points at the minimum, but
he's a 100-yard guy.
Yes,
every
but
game.
But he's hovered between, you know, 18 and 25. Like I don't think he's gone much higher over that, but Tyreek Hill he gives you the opportunity of a 40-point game every once in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
I got a guy with a really good problem to have. He can only start three wideouts, but his options are Juju Smith-Schuster, Robert Woods, Jarvis Landry, and Tyler Boyd.
Oh.
That's a good problem
and
to have.
And you leave on the bench. You probably leave Tyler Boyd on the bench just because Woods has been so solid, and even with Kupp out, he's even more solid. I mean, Juju's got to be in there. And then Jarvis Landry, I think he had a monster game last week. I think he's building on that with Baker.
Yeah, I think Woods would be the only one you might consider sitting for Tyler Boyd, but even then, with Cooper Kupp being out, Woods, I think, is going to
have more targets.
Yeah, I think he'll have a better game than he did last week without Cooper Kupp.
And I think especially this week against the Packers, like I was saying with Jared Goff's season earlier, they're playing the Packers this week, so that's a good offense, and you would think that the Rams would be in the game longer, which means Jared Goff is going to be passing longer. Whereas the past couple weeks, they've just been murdering teams. So Robert Woods and Jared Goff and all those guys are doing nothing in the fourth quarter. So I think they're just going to be more opportunities facing a more competent offense on the other side that keeps it interesting longer, I think.
Meanwhile, Mark Hasty is asking, is it worth starting Cooper Kupp? Well, he's listed as doubtful, Mark. So probably not what you want to do.
But then again, Matt Breida had a doubtful designation get flipped at the last second, too. So it does happen.
He got upgraded to questionable. He got upgraded to questionable that Saturday. It was the Monday night game, but he got upgraded from doubtful to questionable, and they said it was going to be a game time decision.
Cool.
So
here's a tight end question: two tight ends who have been struggling but trending upwards recently, David Njoku, or Trey Burton.
Trey Burton's tough just because there are so many options in that offense that I'm just getting scared
Chicago?
Of all the Bears now. Yeah.
Allen Robinson had 0.9 points last week.
I think you can attribute that to the groin injury that he was questionable coming off
Taylor
of.
Gabriel didn't have a good game either. He only had about four catches last week.
That's true. I think the Chicago offense, like there's Allen Robinson commands a lot when he's in there and when he's healthy. I think this was more because of the groin issue. Then you have Taylor Gabriel, who commands a lot. Then you have Anthony Miller, the rookie, who commands a good bit when he's in there. And Kevin White, honestly, came back and hauled in that Hail Mary but didn't manage to score. And then you have Trey Burton as well, and you have Tariq Cohen. So I think there's just too many mouths to feed in that offense. I don't think any of them are really super trustworthy, but Trey Burton might be the most.
I like Burton more than Njoku.
I'll tell you what, before... scrolling through the Twitter list, Mark Hasty came up more, and I'll tell you what, every single tweet that he's tweeted is a question about fantasy football. Do I start Jordy Nelson over Mike Evans? Do I play Devontae Freeman against the Vikings defense?
This is not worth more
Devontae
brain
Freeman
power
like, wasn't
us.
Even playing that week, probably. Alfred Morris, Jaquizz Rogers, or Booker this week? Demaryius Thomas or Amari Cooper?
Hold on. These are tweets from last year.
Right, but these are from 12 hours ago.
Okay, so some of those are pretty shitty. Jared Cook or Uzoma. You definitely
oh my god, all of his tweets. Mark Hasty, come on, man.
You know these tweets are out of desperation, though. Like, this is probably him starting 0-5 and being like, all right, well, obviously I'm not making the right call, so let's ask Twitter.
Sorry, one of the tweets was a reply to the golf.com Twitter account about Tiger versus Phil's $9 million match. And his reply was, what's the purpose of this match again? Who cares? Mark Hasty,
you care
big
enough.
Fantasy football guy,
you care
not a big golf guy.
Stop tweeting about fantasy football and tweet about golf.
Well, he also said, what's your excitement level for Tiger versus Phil? All capital letters, he replies, zero.
This guy sounds like a prompt in order.
I got to agree with him on that, though.
Mark Hasty. I'll tell you what.
Let's get back to fantasy. I'll do one or two more Twitter questions. Josh Gordon versus the Bills or John Brown versus the Panthers? That matchup's tough.
Bills defense has been fairly stout this year.
Yeah, the matchup's tough for Josh Gordon in that one. Otherwise,
Brady,
I would always go with Gordon there.
Brady always does well against the Bills, though.
But then again, John Brown's had a couple up and down games. Like, I know he really went off this past week, but there are games where he gets less than five, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I might go John Brown and hopes that he has a boom week this week.
I think I would, too.
I just like the matchup slightly more.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see. Pick two. Chris Thompson, Jalen Richard, or Nick Chubb? Definitely Chris Thompson, as long as he's healthy and playing.
And I might go Jalen Richard.
Yeah, I'd say that if it's a PPR league, for sure go Jalen Richard. And even if it's standard, I might go with him, too, just because I think that he's going to get increased looks.
Yeah, I think he gets...
Especially with Cooper gone.
He gets double the looks just because of Lynch being out and Cooper being gone. So I think Jalen Shard, his value went up a lot this past week.
All right. Give us two more.
How about a trade question for you?
Okay.
Wendell Smallwood and Stephon Diggs for Will Fuller and Demaryius Thomas.
No!
I say Stephon Diggs wins that trade.
I'd keep Stephon Diggs.
I'd keep Will Fuller and
Demaryius Thomas.
Well, you're a Will Fuller guy.
You don't want Wendell Smallwood.
What about Demaryius Thomas? I thought you were like, you hate him now.
I have a love-hate relationship with Demaryius Thomas.
He's got the recency bias.
That being said, I would much rather have Will Fuller and Demaryius Thomas over Stephon Diggs and Wendell Smallwood.
Would I rather have Stephon Diggs
than both of those receivers? Yes, but I'm not sacrificing two mid-range receivers for a good receiver and a running back that's going to get you next to nothing.
Yeah, the running back means nothing to me in that trade, but I think Diggs is enough by himself.
I'd rather have the two mid-range receivers than the good receiver and terrible running back. And I say terrible running back because, God, I hate a running back situation right now. Trade for Le'Veon Howie! Do it! God.
Tick-tock. Tick-tock.
Seriously. The amount of players that the Eagles have been linked to in the past 48 hours is ridiculous.
And it's all been unbiased sources, too. This is the crazy part. It's not even like a bunch of Eagles beat writers being like, oh, we're going to get this guy. It's all like,
no, they've been
like
linked
NBC.
To like 12 different players.
And yeah, it's all been coming from like official unbiased NBC like sources or CBS or ESPN or whatever. Like it hasn't even come from Eagles land.
Yeah, well, that's... It's going to happen. You're getting all these rumors when you got a guy like Le'Veon Bell in the news. 90%
true.
Of what you hear is going to be rumors and not just actual facts.
Well, they should go get Le'Veon then. Anyway. Hopefully next week we'll be much happier after the Eagles win in London.
I think you've been talking
possibly.
About the Eagles winning the past couple weeks and it's not been working.
Really? Past couple? Because 2 weeks ago, they won pretty big.
That is
correct. No comment from that one? No, you don't want to say anything about that one?
I mean, you beat the Giants. Good job.
Division win. 1-0 in the division.
Division.
All right, I got a fire star for you guys, though.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Oh, yes. We have this thing to do.
While Jason takes his shot... Make sure you take the Wonderlic test, post your scores to our fantasy Fantasy Process Report Facebook page.
Go like and subscribe, follow all the things you do on social media. Mm-hmm.
Twitter at @PPR_official.
So here, as I take this, here is to my past successes of the Fire Shot. The past couple have been pretty good. And for some reason, I haven't taken any of... one of them was Tyler Boyd, and he did really well. One of them was Taylor Gabriel. He had a pretty good game. And then the other one, I think, was Trubisky was most recent, and he had a very good game as well. And for some reason, I have not taken my advice on any of them. But
not the most fiery of hot takes, but they're still hot.
I think they're not necessarily like fire. It's more
hot
just
hot take would be like Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah,
the top
it's more of like guys that are for some reason or another owned in less than 40% of leagues and just should be starting on your team probably.
Devontae Freeman's not actually on IR. He'll be back starting. Hot take.
Here's a hot take. Devontae Freeman's gonna get a touchdown before Julio Jones.
Oh, no. I don't know, man. That's a good question. That's a good poll that you got going on there.
All right, well, here we go.
You've got Dak versus 200 and Julio versus 1.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so here it is this week. It is Jakeem Grant. Do either of you know who that is?
Yeah, the
Miami
Dolphins.
Yeah, I was going to say
wide receiver.
So he's owned in 3.9% of leagues, and for some reason or another, the Brock star seems to do well in this offense, and I don't know why. And I think he's going to step into a really big role because he's been kind of labeled as that, like, athletic but just doesn't have the volume type. But then this week with Kenny Stills going down, Devontae Parker just doing God knows what, and then Danny Amendola dealing with an injury, like, the top three receivers on that team are all injured and out this week already for the Thursday night game. So I think Jakeem Grant is up there. I mean, he's going to be getting the volume. I think he's going to be combining that skill and volume at this point. And honestly, before I made the trade, I was probably going to be starting him. But when I offered the trade to Anthony, I conditionally dropped him. So sorry, bud.
I think this is the first hot take that I think he's going to be wrong on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that you got a tough matchup there.
It is tough, yes.
Brock's going up against his old team there, Denver, who's coming off a fantastic defensive performance. So I see that continuing to go on. And yeah,
I think the guy that's going to step up in the passing game for Miami is going to be Mike Gesicki.
Oh, I hope so too. But I think he's also questionable.
God, Hunky. His take's got to be so hot.
You don't like Mike Gesicki?
No.
Really?
Go pick him up if you like him so much.
I didn't say I'd start him.
I didn't say you had to start him. I said go pick him up.
Well, I think I'd roster him right now. My tight end scenario is not great, but I'm not that ambitious.
I'll throw a hot take in there, a long-term one. The Jags are currently the 17th-ranked fantasy defense. I will say
they're going to get worse this week.
I think they finish the season lower than 17th.
They're going to get worse this week.
Wow.
Carson Wentz about to torch the rest.
Lower than 17. That's pretty bad.
Yep. I'll tell you what.
Man.
The Prince of England's playing quarterback in London this week. Oh, Jesus. Carson Wentz. Are you salty that we have a young quarterback to build a team around? And
we'll get one.
Eli?
We'll get one. Don't you worry. We'll get one.
Okay.
We'll probably get a veteran.
Might be
mediocre guy.
Might be in the top five of the draft,
though.
But you'll
get
one.
So you're going to get Brock Osweiler first? Or Case Keenum?
I don't know if we're going to... After Eli is immediately going to be the next quarterback, I think that we might have an intermediate quarterback in there. Maybe one or two intermediate quarterbacks that are kind of the transition.
We'll give you Nick Foles for a first.
He could be a transition quarterback. He's not. I mean, I'm not going to trade my first round pick for him, but
We would gladly take a first off your hands for Nick Foles.
How about this? You give me Nick Foles and you fuck off.
Wait, Nick, are you saying you can't league manager go in and just take Nick Foles from the Eagles?
Oh, I can. Yeah, it's part of my rules. Part of my duty.
All right. Well, that's about all we got time for tonight. We're going to end it on that. We're more than halfway through the season at this point. So, like we said...
you got to talk about George Kittle. The breaking news that we have on George Kittle.
Oh, yeah, George Kittle cares about fantasy.
So, start him.
According to him. Cares about fantasy, so... Look out.
Anyway, we'll actually finish the show now. Go ahead. We'll see next week where hopefully the Eagles are back to 500. Hopefully I am up to 2 wins. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah.
I hope the Giants are up to 2 wins.
Anyway. That's all I got. You guys got anything else to end the show on?
No. Happy Wednesday. Ready for some Thursday night football.
Who plays?
Oh yeah, me
night?
Too. Dolphins and Texans.
Yeah, I'm not watching that. Anyway.
It's football though.
That's true, it is football. Jakeem Grant's gonna go off. Just watch.
Alright. Anyway.
Happy Aaron Rodgers episode.
No. We'll see you next week. For now, Fantasy Process Report on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.
YouTube channel. Yes. Have a good night, everybody.
Take it easy. Go Birds.